baptism, its importance. Before I look at the arguments put forward by infant baptizers in support of their practice, I want to stress the importance of baptism itself. I urge you not to dismiss this subject as of little or no consequence. Don't wave it aside as trivial. Jesus described his baptism as fitting to fulfill all righteousness. He said it was seemly, fitting, to carry out all God's commands and ordinances. How then can baptism be regarded as a matter indifferent or optional, as some, including evangelicals, especially of all people Baptists, think it is? Christ's words show the importance of the issue. I'm not interested in a sterile, hair-splitting quarrel over nothing, striving about words to no profit. Some might dismiss my book as written by one with a very low view of baptism, the inevitable consequence, they might add, of my denial of sacramentalism. Well, let me briefly spell out what I think about baptism. Baptism is a standing command, an ordinance. There is nothing optional about it. An ordinance of Christ, an obligation which he has laid upon all his people throughout this age. It is one of two such ordinances. Baptism is experienced but once, upon profession of faith, whereas the Lord's Supper is to be regularly repeated throughout the believer's life. While baptism is an individual experience, the supper is a corporate act of the local church and serves to nourish its unity. Both are symbolic acts. But while the grace represented in the symbols is not conveyed by these symbols, nor in the observance, this does not mean they are pointless. In the physical symbols, the believer sees, represented before his eyes, the spiritual realities of his redemption in Christ, and so finds spiritual instruction, edification, and encouragement. There is, furthermore, a massive benefit to be gained by sheer obedience to Christ. Whatever he says to you, do it, even if this should mean being plunged in water. The ordinances also serve as a kind of physical preaching of the gospel to any unconverted who might observe them. Baptism serves another purpose also, a very important purpose at that. It leads the believer into local church membership, including the Lord's Supper. Whether or not all this is dismissed as a low view of baptism, it is, although I have not stopped to set out the biblical arguments, as I see it, the biblical position. And baptism goes far deeper than baptism. The truth is, it goes to the very heart of church life, the nature of the church, who its members are, how they become members, and what is expected of them. That is what lies at the heart of this subject. The infant baptizer, B.B. Warfield, put it this way: according as is our doctrine of the church, so will be our doctrine of the subjects of baptism. If we believe that only those already united to Christ have right within his house and to its privileges, if we are to demand anything like demonstrative evidence of actual participation in Christ before we baptize no infant who by reason of years is incapable of affording signs of his union with Christ, can be thought a proper subject of the sacrament. As just noted, Warfield believed in infant baptism, and therefore he did not demand the evidence he referred to. But even so, his statement illustrates the point I am making. Baptism and the doctrine of the church are inseparably linked. What we believe about baptism, and what we do about it, will be governed by and will influence what we believe concerning the church, because as is our doctrine of the church, so will be our doctrine of the subjects of baptism. I agree with Warfield. Robert L. Dabney made the same point when he said that the doctrine of baptism and the Lord's Supper is closely dependent on that of the Church, and is treated by many authorities as strictly consequent thereon. Let me illustrate what I'm trying to say by an example totally unconnected with baptism. Think about the atonement, especially the extent of the atonement. For whom did Christ die? The question of the extent of the atonement is not a barren discussion about mere numbers. The very nature of redemption itself is at stake. Did Christ accomplish a certain redemption for all the sinners for whom he shed his blood? Or did he die for some sinners who will never be saved? In other words, it's not merely the number of the sinners for whom Christ died, but what did he actually accomplish by his death? Similarly, in this book, I don't consider baptism only. As I said, the issue goes far deeper. The very nature of the Church depends on it, and it has no small effect on salvation itself. Indeed, salvation can be jeopardized by a wrong view of baptism. In short, eternity is at stake. That is how important it is. And that leads us to another neglected aspect of the subject, one which strikes me personally as I write about it. As to the place of baptism in addressing sinners, I feel the force of C.H. Spurgeon's comments on Ananias' command to Saul, "Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins." This is what Spurgeon said: "The tendency with many good evangelists is to say nothing upon that point. The main thing is to get this man to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But to say, 'Arise and be baptized,' is not that far less important? Brethren, we have nothing to do with altering Christ's message, but we are bound to deliver it as a whole without addition or diminution. The tendency everywhere is to say, 'Baptism should not be mentioned. It is sectarian.' Who said so? If our Lord commanded it, who dares call it sectarian? We are not commanded to preach a part of the gospel, but the whole gospel. And this Ananias did. Is it not written, 'He that believes and is baptized shall be saved'? Why omit one clause? I question whether God's blessing has not been withheld from some teachers and preachers because they have failed to repeat their message in its entirety. A brother will write to me next week and say, 'I'm sorry that I cannot circulate your sermon because you allude to baptism.' My dear brother, if you cannot circulate the sermon, I must be content without your kind help. But I cannot amend the Lord's word to please the best man upon the earth. What prominence is given to baptism here in Acts 22, verse 16? We should greatly err if we believed in baptismal regeneration, or even in the efficacy of washing in water for the removal of sin. But, on the other hand, we are not to place in the background an ordinance which, by the language of Scripture, is placed in the forefront. Ananias said to Paul, 'Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins.' And this tallies with that other text, 'He that believes and is baptized shall be saved.' In both of these passages, the Lord puts a special honor upon baptism, and it would be ill for us to neglect that which he so evidently esteems. Do not make any mistake and imagine that immersion in water can wash away sin, but do remember that if the Lord puts this outward profession side by side with the washing away of sins, it is not a trifling matter. Remember that other text, 'With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.' Faith must be followed by obedience, or it cannot be sincere. Do then what Jesus bids you. That is not, however, my point. I want to urge upon you that you should always speak the Lord's word faithfully, and be true to that which the Lord reveals to you, even to the jots and tittles. In these days there is much talk about undenominationalism, and in that talk there is much to be admired. But the danger is less that we should on all hands begin to pare away a little from the word of God for the sake of an imaginary unity. The suggestion is that one is to give up this and another to give up that. But I say to you, give up nothing which your Lord commands. Quite. I leave it there. Whether or not I have succeeded in allaying the fears of any who think I have a low view of baptism, I cannot say. But this is what I think about the ordinance. Now for a look at infant baptism. But before getting into the heart of the matter, some cautionary remarks are necessary. They will form the next chapter.